Well, if you want to keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 24, the title of my sermon today is As in the Days of Noah. And in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gives his disciples some shocking news. What he said about the temple was that he indicated that the temple was actually going to be destroyed. Matthew 24 verse 2, and Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. This was shocking news to the disciples when they saw that beautiful temple in Jerusalem. Jesus was prophesying the fact that that would be destroyed. Not one stone would be left on top of another. In response to that, the disciples had a number of questions, and you see those questions in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 24. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And so what happens in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus begins to speak about the coming tribulation period. And the tribulation period could be right around the corner for this world. And unfortunately, there are so many people that are unaware of it. And so many churches today, they're not even warning people of the tribulation period. Jesus speaks of that period in Matthew chapter 24, and he says in verse 37, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. So Jesus here mentions Noah. And I want to think about the days of Noah. You look at verse 37 again, Jesus says, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Today I want to look at the days of Noah and compare it to the days of now. The days of Noah compared to the days of now. And when we compare it through the scriptures, you'll find that there are similarities to today. Let's think about what Noah's day was like. Well, the first word that comes into my mind when I think about Noah's day is the word population. I believe that there was a large population on the earth at the time of Noah. Why do I think that? Well, if you look at the scriptures, Genesis 5 verse 32, the Bible says, And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis 6 verse 1, And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. I believe in Noah's day there could have been a very large population of people. And one of the reasons is Mrs. Noah is still having kids when Noah is 500 years old. And if you were having kids in your 500s, now we read that Noah's family is small, but if you are still reproducing at the age of 500, there's quite possibly that many other people are reproducing in their hundreds of years, and perhaps they had large families back then. Peter Goman, a professor of Old Testament, writes in relation to the population of Noah's day, and Peter says this, Consider, for example, Israel's population increase while in the land of Egypt. Israel came into Egypt as 70 persons, Genesis 46 verse 27, and yet when they left Egypt 400 years later, their numbers conservatively estimated around 2 million. This is at least a 2.5650% growth rate per year. If we use this same growth rate for the pre-flood world, the numbers would be astronomical. Given the longer lifespans of pre-flood life, example, Adam, 930 years, Jared, 962 years, etc., as well as the optimal living conditions, we should expect a faster population growth than we currently have today. Aaron O'Neill writes, he says this, in 2023, the global population will reach approximately 8 billion people. This is double what the population was just 48 years previously, in 1975 when it reached 4 billion. And that's from Statista.com. So there was population increase in Noah's day. The second thing that comes to my mind when I think about Noah's day is progress. There was population. Secondly, there was progress in Noah's day. Now, what do I mean by progress? Well, things were being built in Noah's day. We often think, you might look back and you might look at pictures of Noah's Ark and you might think of pictures of that day and that you'd start to think that they were a primitive people. No, there was progress in Noah's day and even before Noah's day. Go to Genesis 4 verse 17. We find here that a man called Enoch built a city, Genesis 4:17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. So there was a city that was built, at least one, probably several cities. They were days of progress. They were days of industrial progress as well. There was technology and advancements in Noah's day and before Noah's day. Another verse for you, Genesis 4 verse 22. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And see, just in this verse here, there's technological progress in Noah's day. And God gave instructions for the ark for Noah, for him to build that ark, and it's absolutely feasible. Well, it is feasible, it is true. Noah had the technology in order to build that enormous boat. Now, what size was Noah's ark? Well, just in length, if you think about 1.5 football fields, that's about the length of Noah's ark. Now, that's tremendous length. That's a big ship, even today. I know cruise ships are very big, but 1.5 football lengths was a big ship. And Noah had the technology in order to do that. There was metal production before Noah's day. There was the building of cities before Noah's day. And so there was progress, not only population increase, but there was progress in the days of Noah. Well, you think about those days and you think about our days. Think about the progress that has occurred in our days. Think about the technology and what has happened. Think about the technology and the advances just over the last 250 years. My grandma came from the era of horse and buggies. That was their transport back then. Now, I can remember visiting our cousins in Newcastle. We were city folk. We lived in Sydney. And we would come up to what we thought was the country up here in Newcastle. And I can remember visiting our cousins in Janet Street, Merriweather. And in Janet Street, Merriweather, I think it was in the 1960s, do you know how they delivered the bread then? Horse and cart. I remember seeing the baker on the old concrete road there in Janet Street, still an old concrete road there, and hearing the clip-clop of the horse as that horse pulled the wagon and then there was the baker. Just incredible. Now, I wasn't born in the 1800s, but I can still remember the horse and buggy, baker's cart there down at Merriweather. I remember when cars didn't have air conditioners. I remember when shops didn't have air conditioners. If you went to the big city shops at Davy Jones, how did they try and quell the heat back in Sydney there? these big, huge fans that they'd blow through the shops. I remember when houses didn't have colour TVs. I remember when houses didn't have videos. I remember when houses didn't have phones. We lived in Darwin Street, Carlingford, and there was a red phone box. The PMG phone box was down the end of the street, and you would walk down and you'd make your phone call there, or you could go up to Mobbs Hill near Carlingford there, and the post office there, they had all the phones. And you'd queue up and you'd wait for the people to get out of their phones and hope that they won't be too long to make your phone call. I can remember when there was no mobile phones. Actually, I can remember my first mobile phone. You know what size it was? It was a bag that I carried, like a handbag. It was a bag I carried like that. And I could take that bag and put it in my Bobcat. I was a Bobcat operator at the time, and I had a truck, and I could take my mobile phone out and bring it in my truck, and then it had a phone on top there, and I could dial up, and there was an aerial there. And Judy was shocked with the phone bills. We'd get phone. It was like $1.50 a minute or something like that back in those days, and we'd get this enormous phone bill. I can remember when mobile phones weren't so mobile. I can remember when there was no computers at school, no computers. And then in high school, this incredible thing came called a computer, and you'd have to put this paper card in it, and it had all these dots, and we did computers back then by putting paper into this machine, and then it would somehow spit out, I don't know what it was spitting out, but it spit out more dots. I can remember when the first man went to the moon. I think we were in second or third class, and our teacher sat us round the black and white TV, and we heard those words, one small step for man. Crowded around the black and white TV at the school, it was just incredible to see the man on the moon. I remember when there was no internet. I remember when that word wasn't even in existence. They were the good old days. Think of the technical advances today. You know, right back, Daniel prophesied that knowledge would increase. Daniel 12 verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, he actually prophesies also, I believe, an increase in transportation. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Noah's day. Population growth. Noah's day, great progress. I believe in Noah's day there was terrible perversion. There was perverse marriage practices. In Genesis chapter 2, God set the standard for marriage, one man and one woman for life. Genesis 2 verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You go to Genesis chapter 4 before we meet Noah in Genesis chapter 6, and we see the corruption of marriage. We see polygamy. Genesis 4 verse 23, and Lamech said unto his wife, no, the scripture says, Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. There is, in Genesis chapter 4, polygamy. In Genesis chapter 6, there's the corruption of the bloodline of man, resulting in giants that were born. Genesis 6 verse 2. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were joints in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There was perversion in Noah's day. There was polygamy in Noah's day. There was a perversion not only of marriage, but also of the bloodline of man. You know, marriage is under attack like never before. Someone said, destroy the home and you destroy the nation. Today, throughout Australia, cohabitation of couples is so common. And even our own government in recent years has changed the biblical definition of marriage to include what God forbids. We see that Romans 1 is working out before our eyes. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. I believe in Noah's day there were perverse marriage practices, and in today's world there is perverse marriage practices. Jesus compares Noah's day. He talks about the last days. He talks about Noah's days, and he also talks about Lot's days. Luke 17, verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The last days are going to be like the days of Noah, and the last days are going to be like the days of Lot. And Noah lived in a perverted world, and Lot lived in a perverted world, and you and I are living in a perverted world today. The sad thing is that churches that once preached against sin now condone sin. And they even encourage sin and even advertise sin. Matthew 24, verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. We've got false prophets throughout Australia in the pulpits today. Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In Genesis chapter 6, there was not only perverse sexual practices, but there was the perversion of the mind. Look at Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What a perversion of the mind we see today. Pornography fills the internet. Pornography fills the theatres. Pornography will even fill your lounge room if you turn on the TV and allow it to. Every imagination the Bible says here, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was happening in Noah's day, and that is happening to some people today. Do you know there are some young men that are so addicted to computer games? And I'm not talking about just teenagers, I'm talking about young men maybe in their 20s and 30s. There are some young men that can't work anymore. Why can't they work anymore? Because they spend all their nights playing video games with people overseas across the internet, and they're up all night, and they've trained their minds that they can't sleep in the nighttime, and they're playing these games, and therefore they can't work. How tragic. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What a lot of these young men playing? Violent games. Why are we seeing the mass murders over in the US? It's a result, I believe, in numbers of cases of young men playing these violent games and they lose reality. How sad. Well, let's think about, I'm not going to pick on young people all the time, let's think about some of the older folk. Do you know that there are some in our society whose minds, these are older people, whose minds have been so corrupted by the machines that they visit every day in the clubs in this city. And you see mindless people in a trance before the pokies. And the pokies are taking their mind away and emptying their pockets at the same time. And I don't know if you've ever been into a club where you'll see a person and they're just like in a trance and they're pushing the buttons and they're putting, I don't know if they put any money in anymore, if it's credit cards, I'm not sure. But I've seen these people just staring at these machines. I know a club worker and people come into his club and they just, they spend their houses on poker machines. They spend their children's inheritance on poker machines. They go hungry because they're addicted to looking at that screen. People sit on stools in clubs. The machines capture their minds and the machines capture their bank accounts. Proverbs 15 verse 26, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." How many people have started with a lotto ticket? Or how many people have just saw the RSL houses for gambling on the TV and they just think, oh, I'll just buy a ticket in that. I might win a multi-million-dollar house. How many people have started with 20-cent piece in a poker machine and that's grown to 200,000 that they've put through that machine? "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." Ezekiel 7 verse 19, "They shall cast their silver in the streets and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is a stumbling block of their iniquity." Is gambling a stumbling block for you? It is for some Christians. Some Christians start playing the lotto or the pokies or put a bet on the horses and they find that they're addicted. 1 Timothy 6 verse 9, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith." This is talking about believers, erring from the faith, "and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Is it possible for a man of God to get trapped in these things? Yes. That's why Paul says, "Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." In Genesis 6, there was the perversion of the mind on a massive scale. and man's minds are being perverted today like never before. Genesis 6 verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Is your mind perverted through the internet? Is your mind being perverted through Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Telegram, Twitch, Tumblr, or any other tea that's out there? Plenty of minds are being corrupted. Man's minds were so perverted in Noah's day that violence was rampant. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Think of the violence and the robberies today. When we lived in Sydney, we'd go on holidays and we didn't have to lock up the house. No fear of robbers coming in. Neighbours would look over the fence and make sure things were okay, but you could go on holidays and just leave your house unlocked. No fear of robbers. When my mum was young, murders were a rarity in her day. Murders are common in our day. Turn on your TV and there's probably an average of 1 to 2 murders that you see or hear about overnight. I mentioned yesterday about an article written on June the 13th, just a few days ago. The Epoch Times published it, and they said over 724 babies left to die. Over a 10-year period, 724 babies in Victoria and Queensland survived failed abortion attempts but were left to die by medical staff. In New South Wales, a baby was aborted and zipped into a medical bag while still breathing at Westmead Hospital. A pastor in Victoria wrote this, even in 2007, 52 babies survived late-term abortions according to government figures. In some clinics, they had simply been put on a shelf and left to die. And the public deserved to know what was happening now. 52 babies born alive, placed on shelves by nurses, to left to die. Where have we come? Satan wants to kill kids. If he doesn't kill them in the womb, he wants to destroy them in the classroom. If he doesn't destroy them in the classroom, he wants to destroy them in the lecture room at university. There is an all-out war against children and youth in our day. Noah's day were days of population. Noah's day were days of progress. And Noah's days were days of perversion. Now let me give you the good news. Noah's days were days of preaching. Before judgment comes, God always has his preachers. Do you know that Noah's great-granddaddy was a preacher? He had a preacher in his line. His great-granddaddy was a man called Enoch. And when you understand who Enoch was the first second coming preacher in the Bible. The first second coming preacher in the Bible. Jude 14 says this, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Enoch saw that there was going to be a second coming of the Lord, and the Lord was going to come with his bride to this earth. And all those years before, the great-granddaddy of Noah knew about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, Noah's great-granddaddy was a preacher, and Noah ends up becoming a preacher. 2 Peter 2 verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You know, I believe that Noah's great granddaddy made a difference for Noah. Noah's great granddaddy, Enoch, was a godly man. He was a preacher. And Noah had the benefit of having a godly granddaddy. And if you have a godly heritage, you need to thank the Lord, because there are so many people in our society today and their grandparents, their great-grandparents, and even their parents are absolutely godless. And I think about kids in our society today, unless someone reaches them from outside the family, these kids have no hope because their parents are leading them totally astray, and even their grandparents. Noah had a testimony. Noah was a preacher. And you know, I believe that Noah's preaching affected his family, because Noah's family got on the boat. They got on the ark. So Noah must have had a testimony in his own family as well as in society. Have you got a testimony? Are you a preacher in your family, in your suburb? And I don't mean necessarily a preacher, a pulpit preacher, but we're all preachers, we're all witnesses for the Lord Jesus. Someone wrote a poem. They said, "You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do and the things that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true. So what is the gospel according to you?" You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true. So what is the gospel according to you? Well, Noah's days were days of population. Noah's days were days of progress. Noah's days were days of perversion. Noah's days were days of preaching. And sadly, Noah's days were days of perishing. Look at verse 37. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." People today, they're eating, they're drinking, they're partying, they're having their pride festivals, their town festivals, they're living it up, they're drinking, they're drugging, they're living as if there'll be no judgment. And that's what was happening in Noah's day. Until, the Bible says, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Genesis 7:15, "And they went unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth." Genesis 7:23, "And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both men and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." There was a great disaster in Noah's day. But there was also a great rescue. God provided the design of the ark. Noah built the ark. There was a great rescue. All people had to do was believe the preacher of righteousness, Noah. All they had to do was look at the ark, and the ark was a visible demonstration that God was going to bring judgment. And Noah was a visible demonstration of a man that lived for God, a man that understood that he could have a future for God and with God. And Noah built that ark. There was one way and there was one door, and Jesus is the door and Jesus is the way today. One way that those people could have been saved from disaster, and one way today, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way today, one way to be saved back then. But most of the world perished. You know, the greatest disaster since the time of Noah may be very close, and that is the coming tribulation period. But there is an ark of safety, and his name is Jesus. And when Paul wrote to Titus, he said, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. A great disaster is coming upon this world, but there's a great rescuer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our blessed hope. And Paul had the blessed hope, and he passed it on to Titus. And I want to pass that on to you today, that the blessed hope is a great rescue of the church, where Jesus comes for his bride to take his bride to the Father's house. The glorious appearing is where Jesus comes with his bride from the Father's house to the second coming to this world. I wonder, do you have the blessed hope that Jesus is coming for you? There's going to be a great rescue, but also there's a great harvest. And you and I need to be involved in the harvest that the Lord has for us. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest. Are you about the harvest? Are you seeking to win people for the Lord Jesus? Jesus said, say not ye, there are 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest. Noah was a witness in his day, and we are to be a witness in our day before the Lord closes the door on the age of grace. If you're not saved, this world is heading towards a terrible period called the tribulation period. And you may not survive that period. You may be completely deceived in that period. You need to come to Jesus as Saviour. If you know about the tribulation period, you need to be warning others. Jesus said in Matthew 24 there, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be.